Good morning. Welcome to Calvary United Methodist Church. I'm Reverend Esther Robinson, and I will be your servant today. It's wonderful to be in the house of the Lord with the family of God. Amen. Thank you for being here. I appreciate you and so much. You do not know what you mean to me. Thank you. I want a little something about salty service cards. People have been asking about these cards. We are counting several figures for our denomination. Our church has us keep track, our denomination, has us, our Florida Annual Conference, has us keep track of how we're doing in membership, attendance, giving, and salty service. Salty service is what we do for someone outside the walls of this church. Outside, when we take Christ to people in the community by doing something for them, by an act of compassion or love or kindness or mercy, when we do something for someone else, we have done a salty service. And for every salty service that you do, we want you to put one of these cards in the offering plate so that we can keep track of the number of people who have the special gift given to them by you, special gift, Christ's compassion offered to someone in need. And so we thank you when you do that. I just wanted to clarify this. And for any questions about this card, what service means, I think we're getting an understanding of that. Every time you do something for someone outside the walls of this church, we ask you to give us those healthy service cards. And we're going to try and get them for the choir, but I bet you they haven't gotten there yet. They're in the choir room. All right. Excellent. Excellent. That's great. Because we know that they do a lot of salty service, too, back there. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's great. Let's take a moment to greet one another with the peace of Christ this morning. Thank you.
morning. And this boom mic is working. Not this one, this one. We're trying a new thing this morning on me. I don't know if I'm
the only one who's had courage enough to use it.
I'm the only one who's had courage enough to use it, he says. I might be the only one gullible enough. But we're trying it. The pastor has had hers for a while now, and we're trying to get the speaker, the letter, or whatever we're called, in line. If you would join me this morning with the announcements. First, I'd like to speak to the Easter egg hunt, the resurrection Easter egg hunt. Children's Ministry is starting to request donations for the resurrection Easter egg hunt. The donations needed are listed in the back of the sanctuary. There is a poster board back there. And it will tell you what we need. And if you can please look at that and then I'll bring those items in so that we can have a successful Easter egg hunt on April the 4th from 10 until it's over. I understand we're not supposed to give a deadline. And that's because we're not sure when it's going to end. And this is for children aged 2 through 10. The newsletter is available. It's in the Narthex and in the hallway. Please take time to pick one up. Look at all the great things that have happened and are happening at Calvary. There will be a short trustees meeting shortly, right after the worship service today. And you are invited to attend. Trustees are invited to attend, I should say. It's a short, brief matter we have to discuss, and then we'll be free to go and have lunch. The Lenten calendars for Imagine No Malaria is on the back where the jug is. The pastor read some of them this last Sunday. Please take the time to pick one up and try to follow it. How many shoes do you have in your closet?
Oh, that wasn't good for me. I like the sink one.
Yeah, the sink. There are some... So we're laughing because it's a donation for shoes you have in your closet and so forth like that to go to Imagine No More Malaria fund that we are taking up. So this is our Lenten campaign is to the funds will be going for Imagine No More Malaria. New members class will be next Sunday at 9:30. That's in the pastor's study. New members class, if you're interested. And there is going to be a follow-up, I understand, from council meeting with people who are interested in just renewing or learning more about the Methodist Church. So another class, if you're already a member, but you say, well, what am I? You can still come to the new member one. Great. Okay, I thought we was going to have a separate one for them. Great.
New and old members.
New and old members, who you are. I'm breaking the rules of communication, I'm sorry. At council, I pointed out that lay servants training is going to be March the 20th and 21st. I was supposed to get that into the newsletter. But it was the 15th is deadline. I don't know how many have seen that up here 1,000 times. The council meeting was the 15th, and I was going to go home and get it out to the newsletter, and I didn't do it. But lay servants, you have until the 5th to send your registration form and funds into the district office. So it's at Riverside on the 20th and the 21st of March. If you have any, Friday and Saturday. If you have any further questions, please talk to me and I'll straighten you out because I found out this morning that I was supposed to go straight to the district office with it. If you're a visitor here for the first time this morning, would you please take one of these welcome cards, fill it out, let us know that you are here. And if there's any prayer needs or so forth, please put those on the card. We will use those as we meet with the prayer warriors on Monday nights and our prayer chain if you so need that to go out on our prayer chain. Please take time to fill that out so that we can have a record of you here with us this morning. Likewise, you'll see in the pews the prayer request forms. This too, fill it out. And the prayer warriors and the prayer chain can be addressing the needs that are expressed here. On the back, it's a praise for answered prayer. Please fill those out, too. We'd love to pass that around that your prayer has been answered. Is there any further announcements that need to be made at this time? Then if you will join me in the opening words in prayer. The pathway is just beginning.
We have encountered the wilderness.
Now we are moving rapidly toward Jerusalem.
Along the way, we will witness astonishing acts of mercy and justice.
Lord, be with us on the journey.
Guide our lives and our steps, we pray. Amen.
Let us pray.
Lord, the presence and power, be with us on the second step of our Lenten journey to the cross. Help us to make the commitment of our lives, our spirits, our hearts, to minister to your name. Amen.
Let's stand and sing number 374, Standing on Promises.
On the promises of God, aren't we? Yes. Can you see heaven from where you are? No. Okay. You think you can see heaven if I clean glasses and put them here up? No. You don't think we can see heaven that way? How about if we took binoculars? We used to watch birds and stuff. Well, what about a telescope? If we had a telescope that can see way up into the stars in the sky, would we see heaven then?
No,
we wouldn't. We wouldn't see heaven then. Wow. Okay, I want you to know that in the Bible, before Jesus did a healing, it says that Jesus looked up to heaven. What do you think he saw? What do you think he saw if it says Jesus looked up to heaven? What did he see? He saw God, okay, clouds, what else? The sky, birds, all right? All those things we see, don't we? He saw heaven. And I was right when he said, what we see in heaven is we see God. And we see God on earth, too, sometimes. Did you not see God here? Yeah. Do you know where we see God here? Can you think? In our hearts, okay? We see God in our hearts. We can read about him. About him in what? The Bible. The Bible is the place where we meet God. That's where we meet and know God. We can listen about him in church. There's a lot of places that we can see God. So I want you to think of heaven as not a place, because heaven's, now there are clouds and sky and stars and all that, but that's not what heaven is. That's not what heaven is. Heaven is God's power of love in our lives, both after we die and right here and now. So I want you to think about looking up to heaven, looking up and seeing God and knowing that God cares for you and loves you and that God is with you and will never leave you alone. That's what I want you to know today. Let's bow our heads and have a prayer. We thank you, O God, for your presence and power in our lives. We thank you for the gift of heaven, which we will see one day and be with you, and we look forward to that time. We thank you for these children and their lives and ask that you continue to bless them in your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Can you put these? The ushers, please come forward for the giving of our tithes and offerings today. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, our only Savior, we come to you today with thanksgiving in our hearts, knowing that all good gifts come from you. We pray your blessing on each gift given today, on each giver, that you may use us and use the gifts we bring for furthering your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
A treat for this one. The men are going to sing a song.
I'm not afraid to die.
Thank you. If you will turn to the insert in your bulletin where it says invitation and confession and pardon, and please join with me where it is in bold. We come to the table of our Lord recognizing our need for divine grace. In humility, let's confess our sins before God and another. Mercifully, as we do not want to have the cross, we set our minds on human things. We long for the security from our possessions. We prefer our own comfort. Forgive us, we pray. May our sense of self-preservation be disturbed by your Son's example, that we might take up his cross in service to the world. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. The Mighty One has sent his deliverance for all people, even the generations yet unborn. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen.
Our scripture this morning is found in Mark, and I'm going to turn it on.
Sorry about that. Our scripture this morning is found in Mark 8, 31 through 38. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But he turned, and looking at the disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are setting your mind on not divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my follower, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it. But those who want to lose their life for my sake, and for the sake of the gospel, you will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my word in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in his glory to his Father with the holy angels." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen.
In an old Reader's Digest, at some doctor's office somewhere, I read a story that I'd like to share with you. A woman writes, "When my sister-in-law Jenny cooks, she likes to substitute ingredients for those in the recipe. One time I gave her the recipe for a chicken and walnut dish that her husband, my brother, likes, and she served it one night when I was over. In place of walnuts, she used raw peanuts. And for chicken, she substituted beef. In fact, every major ingredient had been replaced. "This is terrible," my brother said after one bite. And Jenny glared across the table at me and said, "Don't blame me, it's your sister's recipe." In today's gospel lesson, Jesus tries to explain to his disciples what it means for him to be the Messiah and for them to be his followers. But Peter doesn't like the recipe, the formula, the instructions. All this suffering and dying business doesn't fit his understanding of what a Messiah is. And it really doesn't fit his understanding of what he wants to do with his life in God's service. But starting our gospel lesson with verse 31 is a bit jarring. We kind of begin in the middle of the story. In order to understand the text, you have to understand the few verses that go ahead of this. Just a few verses earlier, Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And the disciples offered up a number of options that they had heard from the crowd. Some say John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the prophets. And then Jesus said, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter answers for them when he says, "You are the Christ, the Messiah." And this is where we come in to the story. Jesus is explaining to them what it means to be the Christ, the Messiah, that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. And then Jesus went on to talk about being raised after 3 days, but Peter quit listening at the part about being killed. Peter's brain screams, "No, not Jesus, not the Messiah, not the Christ. That's not the way the story is supposed to go. That's not right. That's not the formula for success, the recipe. We've got to change that." And he felt that so strongly, he pulled Jesus aside for a little private conversation. And the Bible says Peter rebuked him, which is a strong word. It means he harangued Jesus for not being holy enough, for not staying up there on the pedestal where Peter and the rest had put him and wanted to keep him. When Jesus yells, "Get behind me, Satan," he's not yelling at Peter. He's yelling at Satan. This business of avoiding the cross is a real and terrifying temptation for Jesus. This was Jesus' lifelong spiritual battle. This battle continues all the way to the cross. If you remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, how Jesus prays and drops of blood form on his brow, and he cries out finally, "Not my will, but thine be done." That's the moment that Jesus finally puts Satan away for good. The moment he completely replaces his own will and desires with the will and desires of his God and Father. In our verses, after pushing Satan away, Jesus gathers the whole crowd together to teach them and us what it means to be the Christ, followers of Jesus. Jesus lays it out in no unmistakable terms. He says, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves, take up a cross, and follow me." Now, when many of us hear that recipe for being a Christian, that set of instructions for building a Christian life, we too rebel. Not like Peter with a straight-out rebuke and argument with Jesus. that I think would probably be more honorable than what we do. We're more like Jenny, trying to change the recipe. Well, we say, he couldn't have meant for us to deny ourselves. Not really. That's just unnatural. We're supposed to have the things we want because God loves us and will bless us. He must have meant that we should read the Bible carefully for all those wonderful promises about how we can be happier and richer and more well-rounded people. And take up a cross? Surely not. Surely he didn't mean that we should give away our hard-earned money, that we should actually suffer for the good of others. Probably he meant that we should give a reasonable percentage of what we have, say 2 or 3%. That's probably what he meant. He was just exaggerating to get his point across. And follow him? Gee, I don't think so. After all, Jesus ended up dead. I think he meant we should admire him and worship him and expect good things from him, especially when we're in trouble. But follow him? I don't know. Yes, we try to change the recipe. And then we wonder why the Christian life isn't all it's cracked up to be. The writer, G.K. Chesterton, said that Christianity has not been tried and found wanting. Christianity has been tried and found difficult and then abandoned by most. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is good news, bad news, because Jesus meant what he said. And I want to tell you a little story about that. On March 20th, the year 2000, People magazine ran a story about a little church called Bennett Chapel Missionary Baptist Church in Texas. One day, the pastor's wife was praying and asking God, "Why is my life so empty?" Well, soon thereafter, after her prayer, she and her husband began taking the state classes to be foster parents. And soon the idea spread throughout the whole church. Bennett Chapel is a tiny church, made up of working class people making a living as loggers or down at the chicken plant or at the hardwood flooring company. In other words, they didn't have much to start with. But they decided to use what they had to make a difference in the lives of hurt, abused, and unwanted children. And as of the year 2000, 17 families in the church had become foster parents to 43 children in just 2 years. As I think about that story, I am struck by two things. First, these were just ordinary people, no different from you or I, with ordinary incomes, ordinary lives, and who really didn't need another child around to feed and clothe and worry about. Yet in response to the tug of God's Spirit, they laid their own wants and needs aside for the sake of another, someone who needed them. And second, a quote from the social worker echoes our gospel lesson's conclusion today. The social worker said, "They don't view themselves as a blessing for the child. They view the child as their blessing." And Jesus said it like this, "For those who want to save their life will lose it. and those who lose their life for my sake and the sake of the gospel will save it. Our calling today is to lose our lives into the life of Christ, to lose our wills in the will of God, to give ourselves up totally and completely to the one who gave himself up for us upon the cross. That's all there is to it. No more and no less. Amen.
Amen.
We are reminded of the way of the cross every time we come to this table, because it symbolizes his sacrifice for us. And it always begs the question, what sacrifice will you make? What will you give? Yourself, your all, for Christ. We remember on that night when he spent this dinner with his friends, his last dinner. He shared bread with them, and he took it, he blessed it, and he broke the bread and said, "This is my body given for you. Take and eat this in remembrance of me and be thankful." He took the cup, and when he had given thanks and blessed it, he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this in remembrance of me and be thankful." We offer up today ourselves when we kneel at this table. It is not my table. This table is between you and God. Does God want you there? Do you want God enough to kneel and receive God's good gifts? These are for the people of God. His mercy, his love, his forgiveness. After the choir comes to be served, the ushers will direct you to come, and we will receive the gifts of God. Thank you.
If you'd all stand and look to the screen behind me. We'll sing Every Move I Make. And if you know the moves for the song, then come jump up here and do them and show everybody. Vicky, Vicky, Vicky.
Come on, Vicky.
Come on,
Vicky. Rock and roll. One, two, three,
come out,
four.
Vicky.
Love of God, our heavenly Creator, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest now and abide with each of you, now and always. Go in His peace. Amen.